what you do. And so you came. And now I'd rather have love's control. Tonight I'm so alone. Behind these shadows I overflow. I sent you away in the midnight snow. Your tears cling to my soul. I won't say I love you, but you still know. And your red hat were flakes of wine. But when we face the day, turn to rain. And those few days were filled with you. I still can taste it too. And now this pain. And now I'd rather have love's control. Tonight I'm so alone. Behind these shadows I overflow. I sent you away in the midnight snow. Your tears cling to my soul. I won't say I love you, but you still know. I sent you away in the midnight snow. In the morning rain, in the midnight snow. I won't say I love you, but you still know. And now I'd rather have lost control. Tonight I'm so alone. Behind these shadows I overflow. I sent you away in the midnight snow. Your tears cling to my soul. Won't say I love you, but you still know. You still know in the midnight snow. I sent you away in the midnight snow. In the morning rain, in the midnight snow. I won't say I love you, but you still know. Flakes of wine, but when we face the day, it turned to rain.
This time, we're far Everyone having fun?
Yeah!
All right. It's a lot of feds here. I don't understand. There's all this interest in the, in the conference this year for some reason. Say hi. How you doing? Wow. Well, we've had quite a conference so far, very active, a lot of people, a lot of activities, day and night, and it's just continuing. I want to thank everybody for behaving well, making the hotel happy, making us happy, and having a great time. Thanks so much. You all have your bottle of Club Mate? All right. Not, I don't mean now, but I mean, did you ingest it? Okay, good, good. Makes you happy. Well, this is the Saturday keynote, and let me tell you something about when I first met Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. It was shortly after the video Collateral Murder was released. Have you all seen that video? All right, it has some video of U.S. troops doing some not very nice things that allegedly they never did before the video was actually revealed. WikiLeaks is an organization that accepts leaks from people all over the planet and, when appropriate, publishes them so that the world can see. And I happen to think that's something that's extremely important, something that the hacker world realizes is a valuable part of a democratic society. And I think that the person who leaked the video in the first place to WikiLeaks should be considered a national hero. So the time that I met Julian, the video had just been released. We had him on Off the Hook, and it was an incredible situation where we were talking to the person who had received the video, released it to the world, and of course was the focal point of attention. Even though he was in the country, he felt safe releasing that video there because of all the press attention. Then a month or so later, I met up with him again, and basically, it was more recent than that. It was a few days later. We talked about having him give a keynote address here at Hope. I said, you know, this will be a receptive crowd. These will be people who understand what it is you're doing at WikiLeaks, and we'll see the importance of it, and we'll make big contributions to the WikiLeaks table, which is downstairs right now. And what the work you do is vital. It's important. It must be encouraged. And people who contribute things like this need to know that there is a safe place for them to actually give their sensitive material that can be used for the greater good. And if you all note, no source has ever been revealed via WikiLeaks. However, there are other ways of revealing potential sources through the mass media and through other means. A little while later, a month or so later, there was an article that appeared in one of my favorite online magazines, Wired. Yes, I was sarcastic. That particular article was about somebody in the community that the alleged leaker of this video decided to contact, thinking that he was a kindred spirit. And as happens in the hacker world sometimes, people don't know when to shut up. So he told this person a lot of things about the video, about, I think, 260,000 classified documents that he was also leaking to WikiLeaks. And this person, I don't know why I put the word person in quotes, but some of you may know why, but this person decided that that was a bit much and went to the authorities. And as a result, the person who allegedly leaked all this information is currently in custody in Kuwait. And at that moment, Julian Assange became a very wanted man in this country. We've been able to verify this ourselves. As true that the authorities really, really want to question him about the documents that he's getting from this source, from other sources, about just what it is he's doing in the first place. Now, Julian is committed to what he does, just like any of you who work late at night on your various projects and the rest of the world thinks you're crazy and wasting your time. This is another version of that, and Julian is one of the most driven and dedicated people I've ever met. So that is why we asked him to keynote here, and that is why he was particularly interested in making sure that that commitment was not lost, that the address to you would be given, regardless of the fact that we were able to verify with our federal contacts that if he were to set foot in this country, he would be immediately detained. Now, with all that said, how many of you expect to see Julian walk through that side door right now and come up onto this stage? Yeah? And how many of you live in the real world? Unfortunately, we all do. There is a WikiLeaks presentation today. There is a WikiLeaks keynote address. Without further ado, I would like to introduce WikiLeaks.
Hello to all my friends and fans in domestic and international surveillance. I'm here today because I believe that we can make a better world. Julian, unfortunately, can't make it because we don't live in that better world right now, because we haven't yet made it. I wanted to make a little declaration for the federal agents that are standing in the back of the room and the ones that are standing in the front of the room. And to be very clear about this, I have on me, in my pocket, some money, the Bill of Rights, and a driver's license. And that's it. I have no computer system, I have no telephone, I have no keys, no access to anything. There's absolutely no reason that you should arrest me or bother me. And just in case you were wondering, I'm an American, born and raised, who's unhappy. I'm unhappy with how things are going. I've dedicated my life to helping other people who need help in general, and specifically I work with human rights activists. I work with people who care about a woman's right to choose, the ability to freely vote. I work with people who are working for some kind of social change that is positive in this world. This is extremely important to me, and I don't expect all of you to do this as well, but I expect you to support me, and I expect you to support the activities that take place that are in support of these things. To quote from Tron, I fight for the user. I've done some other things. They're not really that important, but they're in line with what I believe WikiLeaks is in line with. I want to teach people. I want people to learn. I want them to collaborate. I want them to cooperate. And I want them to be able to speak freely without fear of retribution. That's why I work on NoiseBridge, and that's why I work on Tor. I think that if you can, you should organize. You should organize locally in order to make things like this possible. You should help people in whatever way that it is possible. You should also write free software if you have the opportunity, because it is only then that people will be able to trust what you do. There are people whose lives depend on software the hacker community writes. It's kind of a scary thing to think of that, considering some of the quality, but in general, it's extremely important. So you should consider the fact that it's not just about politics. And I am here speaking on behalf of WikiLeaks. I am not here as a representative of the Tor Project who employs me. I'm sure that they probably would not be too unhappy with me speaking here right now, but they certainly didn't know about it before this moment. So I believe that we are complicit in crimes against humanity when we know about them and when we don't stop them. I think that it is quite clear to me that every single person in this room has in some way contributed to the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And I wonder how you all feel about knowing that you are the ones, I am the one, that has funded every bullet that has shot a child, and every woman who has to come home to a family that has been decimated by troops, where there is no justice, where people don't have recourse of any kind whatsoever, where the standard operating procedure is for someone to take a 50 caliber machine gun and shoot across the engine block and kill the driver. I'm not sure that that's the world I want to live in, and I'm not sure that that's the world I want to fund. I'm pretty sure it's not. How about you guys? What do you think? Is that what you want? That's good. So what are you doing to change it?
Texas.
I guess it depends if you're Branson or not. I grew up listening to how terrible things were in the world before. And the neoconservative lie, and it is a lie, is that when the Berlin Wall fell, history ended. And we were in a new world of prosperity with no problems anymore. But actually, that's not the case. We all live in a mythology. And the mythology that we're living in is that America does no harm. And that is simply not true. I believe that, in general, Americans are very good and they want to do the right thing. And I think that's why none of you are rushing the stage and trying to hurt me right now. But we condemn the past while funding the future that we would condemn if it were our past. It doesn't really make sense. So I want to quote from one of my personal heroes. I was going to give you a quote from my friend Daniel Ellsberg, but I think that Moxie Marlin Spike fits with this crowd a little more. Right? He's a fantastic fellow, and he really has inspired me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. He helped me to engage with the world in a way that I couldn't previously understand. And he says, "What about the truth has helped you?" And I always give him countless examples. And so what I want to hear from people is, on a regular basis, how the truth has helped them. We have to dismiss with the cynicism. Sincerity is the new black. So tell me, has the truth helped you? Write about this. Publish it. Tell people how it has helped you. Show that when you learn new things, that they have affected you in some way, and that you have affected other people, that some good ripples out in your network as a result of knowing things. This is extremely important, considering the fact that we teach you things, we tell you things, and we give you documents. We need people to do analysis on those documents, so you guys can be the ones that can actually say how truth has helped you. And I'll tell you why. There are some people, I would say, in the hacker community that quite simply just don't believe this statement. But this is from the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. He says, "And mankind's sole salvation lies in everyone making everything his business, in the people of the East being vitally concerned with what is thought in the West, the people of the West vitally concerned with what goes on in the East." That is our job. When you ignore the injustices of the world, you are a part of the problem. There is no question about that. And it is certainly the case that when you fund it, you are the problem. So, here's the solution that my friends and I have come up with. Certainly not my idea, but I'm on board 100%. We believe that it is absolutely necessary to accept documents that are relevant. Relevant because they are classified, censored, or otherwise restricted. This is extremely important because this is the type of material that is going to be able to make the most amount of change. When it is accepted to us, we have a pretty strong vetting process. Part of this, and what makes it safe for people to use us, is that we have very strong support for anonymity. We're uncensorable. You can try to take us down. But for those of you that have read The Mentor and what he's had to say about hackers, you know that you can't stop us. There's just more of us. And the important thing is that we actually use the rule of law. The rule of law is actually, despite my anarchist tendencies, very important. It is protection of the press that allows me to be here right now, and it allows Julian to travel freely throughout the world. Because people would like to shoot the messenger. There is no question about this. We believe that we are not the only game in town, but we believe that we are specifically a functional whistleblowing platform that is useful for people with the promises that we have made. We think that other people might shine in important ways, but we have a very specific set of goals, which is to make a giant impact. The purpose of this is not profit. You can't change the world if you're setting out to make a profit all of the time. The benefit has to be a cooperative one. It's absolutely important to not think of this as a competitive thing of any kind. And this promise that we make about it being a public service, sometimes I think people might criticize. For example, when we took down the site for a period of time for some re-engineering, and when we asked for donations. But there is no question that these documents will always be available. And, of course, we plan to release a lot more. The purpose of releasing this is that we think that special access is probably not the way that we can make a free and democratic society realized throughout the entire planet. We think that it's absolutely important that you don't have to be someone special to verify something or to get information. Think about it this way. How can you trust the media when the media does not behave like a scientific paper? How do you know that when someone tells you something, that it is true? You don't, unless you have the original facts. And so, that's the purpose of this, to give you the original facts. Of course there will be interpretations, of course there will be people that do analysis on this, but the purpose here is to give you the facts so you can draw your own conclusions, to give you the data so that you have the ability to make your own analysis. And specifically, and most importantly, we aren't going to back down. When the media is gagged, we refuse to be gagged. We refuse to be silent. There is no reason, absolutely. There is no reason whatsoever that we should back down. And we refuse to do so simply because you cannot erase the past. These things that have transpired must be known, and the mere fact that people fight to erase the past, as if it has not happened, should be quite an indicator of something being very, very wrong, not just with this country, but with every country in the world that attempts to do this. And so, we have a history of doing this. Let me explain how it works. We have a pretty good process. We like to say that we have around 1,000 people involved. There's a lot of people involved. There are a lot of people here right now that support us in various ways, and thank you for that. You know who you are, and I don't know who you are. And thank you for that also. Some of the people that work with us are so well educated and so fantastic and so magical in what they have done. I really can't thank them enough for doing something that is really important, which is not giving up and following your dreams. We need people that are highly educated in every walk of life. It is extremely important not just to be a technologist or to dig in deep, but for example, we need people that can tell us and can help us. I mean, there are some pretty good hackers involved. We have a good idea about cryptography and anonymity and privacy and security, but it's always good to have another set of eyes. So it's extremely important to continue to do the things with your life that you think that you should do. And then when you have the skills, when you have the desire, then you can help us. And you can help yourself too, because that's what happens when you help us. We will help everyone. This is a point of some contention, but it shouldn't be. Our process has never lost a source. It's very clear that we have not taken down a publication. We have never been forced in a lawsuit to take down a publication, and we haven't lost a server. That, myself, I find to be quite surprising, but we haven't. And we're changing the world. Thank you for helping us with that. So, Julian likes to say that the goal is justice and that the method is transparency. I think that we're meeting our goals, and I think that we are using transparency in a really strong way. You see, it's extremely important to remember that what we are doing is not subversive unless the things that we are subverting are actively trying to harm us, unless they are being deceptive. The idea that when we leak a document or when we do a thing, that somehow we are bad, that is absolutely impossible. Because it is these individuals, organizations, and governments that wish to suppress information from you. So when you're talking about how some information might be worth hiding and maybe there are some times that some secret should be kept, remember what you're saying is that someone else is more qualified to make a decision than you are. This is an extremely anti-democratic thought process, and you should reject it. Our goal is to unmask the truth. Right? I think that this is the most important point that we can make here. We aren't here to simply tell you some bullshit. We are here to tell you things that people are actively trying to keep secret. We don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. It is irrelevant. There are things that are so much bigger than partisan politics. Human lives are much more important than partisan politics. And it is important to remember that we're not here to solve these problems by siding with one person, but rather to reach every person on all sides, to reach deep down inside of themselves, so that they can very easily know what the right thing to do is. Plato says that we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. So I ask you, are you all afraid of the light?
No.
I didn't hear everyone. That's a little surprising. Is there a little fear in the audience here?
No.
Good. That's what I want to hear. Does anyone here believe that they don't have a right to know what's going on? Come on now, this is a thought exercise. The purpose is to get you to think and then to answer the question. Fantastic. Do you all want to know what's going on with WikiLeaks?
Yes!
I guess you thought about that for a while. So, here's an important thing. I think a lot of anti-authoritarian types like to think that speaking truth to power is good. You know, you stick it to the man and you show the man how it is. Well, I think that's stupid. Power knows power, because power is in power. So what you need to do is empower yourself. You need to know that it is important to take this power and give it to people that are not simply the people that make decisions. Give it to the people that vote them in and out of office. That's why we want to inform everyone about this. This is why we want to make sure that the people that are in power know that they cannot issue a denial when everyone knows the truth. They can't redact a document when everyone already has a copy of it in their heart and in their mind. This is something that I think that all of you understand. And so I hope that all of you will take something away from this and do something about it. Some media has had some things to say about WikiLeaks. We'll go through that real quick. I think that it's pretty clear that we've done some good work. I like this one a lot. Schon heute das ehrfürchtigste journalistische Unternehmen der Welt. That's a bold statement, and the Germans don't make bold statements like that unless they're pretty serious. This right here are some awards that I would say that Julian has pretty clearly won and accepted for the project. But it's important to remember that WikiLeaks is not just Julian. So this whole idea of hunting for him, you can cut off the head, but there will be more. You just can't stop us. So here's an example of WikiLeaks at work. Barclays Bank. There's essentially this problem, especially in the United Kingdom, which is that people like to not only pretend that they can erase the past, but they try to take the present and pretend that it isn't happening. They censor publications, and they fight against what is actually happening in this exact moment, being able to be reported in any context whatsoever. So what did we do? We published the documents that they were trying to censor. The internet changes everything. They can't redact every person's computer screen. They just don't have that kind of control. The same is true with this. The Minton report shows that there was toxic waste dumping where over 100,000 people have been hospitalized or driven to seek help in some way. Can you imagine that? That's every person in this room and every person you know, probably. And this is something that when people know this, if we refer to Moxie's quote and his question, when people know this, they can get out of there and they can seek help and they can seek to redress their concerns in a very serious way. And so these corporations use major legal obstacles in order to make sure that there are secret processes, in order to make sure that there are things that are taking place that you cannot know about, that you cannot talk about, that you can't repeat, that you can't quote. This is ridiculous. This is not the world that we want to live in. So WikiLeaks published those documents. And we publish those documents so that people will have access to them in and outside of that country, so that people will be able to know and to take action, which is what they should do, which is what you should do. And there are other publications which are fantastic, like the BBC, but the fact of the matter is they have a structure that does not allow them to actually tell you everything that's going on. And they have a lot to lose. I don't have anything to lose. Right? I want to make a better world. That's what Julian wants. That's what Daniel wants. That's what other people who will go unnamed want. And it is extremely important that we don't let the buck stop with the publications that are afraid of losing their newsroom. If we get it out there, those gags will become irrelevant. Everyone will know the information. And I think there's a little bit of a full disclosure debate here. Well, I think that it's quite clear where we stand on free leaks, I suppose. But we believe that the most heavily guarded secrets, as it says here, if revealed, have the most potential for reform. There are some people that do not believe this. They believe that it is possible that we should keep those secrets there. But I ask you, what is it that those secrets say? Is it the idea that if you have something that someone else would know, and that would cause some kind of harm? Well, I wonder, what is it that you are doing that you are so afraid of? What is the hegemony that you are promoting in the world? That's the question, right? So I believe that when people in a democracy know these things, it will cause a change, and it will cause a big change. Because when people have things done in their name, it changes things in their hearts. And that takes them on a pretty heavy trip to the ballot box. Journalists sometimes do the wrong thing, and it's a little bit disappointing. There is a video that we're going to talk about that a journalist had for quite some time, and that journalist did not release it because they feared losing their special access. You see, the military offered a collaboration between journalists and the military, and they said, "You can come along for a ride with us, but we get to exercise a little editorial control." And some of these journalists did the right thing, and they turned that down. And some of these journalists did the right thing, and they talked about what they saw. And some of these journalists did not do the right thing, and they kept quiet so that they would keep their access. Those journalists are not very good, in my opinion. So we believe that disclosure is the thing that is the most important. Losing access? We have access to everything. Because every one of you is in every single system that has all of these documents. We don't have to worry about it. When you see something that's wrong, you will tell us. And we will tell the world so that no one knows that it was you that helped us. And this is super important. Absolutely, without question. Because at the end of the day, this transparency is what will create change. There's a little controversial disclosure. The Warlock system. Have any of you heard of this? No? Okay. The IED Detection System Manual. This basically says that there are some IEDs and it blocks them. It explains how it works. And by the time that it was disclosed, that it had mostly changed. But it's interesting because what it did is it revealed, essentially, that there was so much information that people already knew that by telling everyone that people knew it, it changed things. It forced people to react in a different way. And it just so happened that we had been spending a majority of our expenses on these devices, which insurgents had already figured out how to get around. So this is something really important. It's the idea that there's this black market for information. And as long as only some people have it, and not everyone, then things will be all right. In some cases, I guess I could see why someone would make that reasoning, that line of reasoning, but it's just not true. The people in Iraq know what's going on, right? It's us. We are the ones that don't. I mean, it's quite clear that they've been able to get around a lot of these jamming devices. So what's important is that when things don't work, that people understand that they're not working. The military-industrial complex is extremely large and very convoluted, and it means that there are a lot of players here who benefit regardless if the thing saves our troops. That's a really important point, right? And I think that it's quite clear that there are people that would just like to see this information vanish instead of adapt, instead of changing. And I understand that, because they're usually the ones that profit from it. But I say, no. So, it's important. In this case, this transparency, I believe, is quite obviously neutral. Because now we all know that the Emperor doesn't have any clothes. this is not bad to know this. This is good to know this. You are now empowered to make a decision about that system and about the people who might be protected by that system or who might try to thwart that system. Now you are as qualified as someone else to make that decision, if not better, because you have the original source documents on the subject. So, let's talk about some other publishing that we've done that's important. Iceland is a country that is very close and near and dear to my heart. And there's a very incredible person here from Iceland. And we've had long discussions about that country. And I find it to be quite the special place. And I had a chance to go to Iceland earlier this year. It wasn't a secret of any kind. And we were working together on a fun project there. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But the important thing is that WikiLeaks there has a special place in people's hearts because we released loan books that showed how people had bankrupted a nation state, how they had essentially done a ton of unethical things, and everybody knows who they are now. Everybody knows what happened. And this is extremely important for a country that has just over 300,000 people. That is a village by comparison. It might even be Greenwich Village by comparison. This document is extremely important. The impact that this had on Icelandic society was not small. People understood what happened. They understood that they were robbed blind. So how has the truth helped? How has that changed things? Well, I think that's quite clear for the people of Iceland, and probably for you. So let's talk about Guantanamo Bay. You guys probably want to see that closed, I suppose? Yeah? Well, let's talk about how we're going to close it. We're going to close it by knowing what's going on there. Right? Lots of people tried to get the operations manual from Guantanamo Bay, and they quite simply couldn't get it through the Freedom of Information Act. It's just not possible in some cases to get information. After the document was leaked to us, it was leaked a number of times to us over some period of time, which shows that every time the U.S. military told us about how things were going and what the procedures were, they were fucking lying to us. This is really important because, you see, this manual was not written for us. It was written for people that do these things. And that's the really important point here, right? When you have an internal document, you have a view into the mindset of the organization that actually takes these actions. And this is critical, because when someone crafts a piece of PR for you, it's for you. It's to effect some change. It's to manipulate you to do a thing, right? So when you read this document, when you see how the Guantanamo Bay Operations Manual is laid out, and you see the operating procedure, you know that it is not something you want to support. You understand quite clearly. And the fact that multiple times this document was leaked lets you know that when they said they made changes in response to media inquiries, you know that they were also lying. And you know now when they move their lips that they're probably lying again. So how does that change your view of that? I suppose you probably still want it to be closed down, but you have some facts on your side here to show that not all the players in the game are doing the right thing and they're not all on their side. So replace them. Germany has a little bit of a fetish with the military, let's say. And this is extremely important because Germany's military is not supposed to be going on excursions. It's not supposed to be having combat. People in Germany are not supportive of this. Und die anderen deutsche Leute hier in diesem Vortrag, was denkst du? Nein? Yeah, okay, ich hatte gedacht so. All right, so, thanks for the one German. It's great, fantastic. This is important because this brings change about, right? This shows that the politicians that are involved here in Germany probably are aware of these types of things. And it doesn't really matter if they're aware or not in some regards, because what actually matters here is that you know what's actually going on. You've got an idea what Chancellor Merkel knows about. Just a piece, probably. But this piece lets you know that maybe things are not going the way that you want them to. WikiLeaks is pretty well known in the United States for some of the things that have happened recently. And while I think that that's fantastic, it's really important to note this particular leak talked about around 1,700 assassinations, essentially. And this document leak caused quite a stir in Kenya. It really tossed the election in 2007, and it caused the United Nations to do an investigation. In fact, several people working with WikiLeaks were assassinated. They were murdered for the work that they were doing. They weren't sources. They were journalists that were working to take this information, and there are photos of them brutally shot to death in their car. Right? So you want to talk about change. When you expose 1,700 people dying, there's a chance that you're gonna go too. It's very unfortunate that that happened, but their sacrifice has made quite a difference in Kenya. And this is something that I think we can all learn from, which is that we have to make sacrifices in order to change the world. We have to make sacrifices that potentially will cost us our lives. I never expect to work in the computer security industry again, but that's okay. I think this is far more important than anything like that. And some of you will not make this choice, and that is okay. And some of you will pretend to not make this choice, and you will go in deep. And thank you for that. We don't like to back down from a fight, and this is a great example where some people tried to pull our domains, and it didn't work out for them. They did manage to get some prior restraint pulled, but they lost in the end. And the reason they lost is because it was quite clear that not only the information was out there, we were in the right legally, especially in the United States, and we had a San Francisco court, which didn't hurt. You laugh, but there's something to look up to about that court. Every court should be like that court. The First Amendment is extremely clear. This one, I think, is probably the topic you all want to hear about. And we are going to talk about it in a moment, as you can see in the upper left-hand corner. I want to be very clear about this video. There were two versions released, a completely unedited version of the video, and a video that has some commentary. It has some subtitles for people that are hearing impaired, and from people that are not able in any way to be able to, well, watch the video as it was intended to be watched. Don't take this as editorial commentary that is flippant. We chose the name because it was important. We chose the name because that is the language of the people that are committing these crimes. And the sad thing about this video is that the main reason that any of you know about it, and the only reason that anybody really cares about it, is because some journalists died. And that's not to knock journalists, because they're definitely one of my favorite professions. But it's quite clear to me that this is the type of thing that occurs every day in Iraq. In 2005, I hitchhiked into Iraq, let's say as a tourist, to visit some friends. And when I was there, some of you know this story, I visited some friends that lived in northern Iraq and Kurdistan, in Erbil and al-Salamaniya and some of the other areas on the border of Iran after exiting through Turkey. The people that I met there, Arabs from Baghdad especially, were horrified. Can you imagine meeting a man, a grown man, who has tears in his eyes when he explains that every day that he leaves his house, he kisses his wife goodbye and hopes that he will see her again, because he knows that if he takes the wrong turn on a street, that he gets killed. And his wife never even gets to see the body. We are responsible for this. So this video shows an example of that. It shows people trying to do the right thing. I ask you, if someone invaded your country, and you saw one of your fellow men or women shot down, or other, frankly, if you saw them shot down in the street, would you stop your car and would you help them if you saw someone that was brutally murdered and hurt in some way? I think I would. I'd stop my car. Because you see, this didn't happen in the middle of nowhere. This happened in the middle of one of the largest cities in this country where many, many, many people live. In a neighborhood where normal working class people live. Just think about that. You walk out of your house, you see someone who has been shot on the street, you try to help them. Do you help them directly? Do you maybe call for an ambulance? Such privilege you have to have a telephone that can call a hospital. You help them directly because you don't have a choice. But this is an example of where a journalist had this video, and that journalist wrote about it in his book that he sells for a profit, and he did not leak the video. What do you think of that? Do you think that's okay? Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. That's right. It's absolutely terrible. And you know, what's even worse is that we support these programs that create that kind of collaboration between the people that are supposed to tell the truth and the ones that are telling the lies. That is not all right. This got a lot of press. Some of you probably heard about it. We've done some other things that got some press. One of my favorites as a Tor developer is the censorship lists. It's really important that people understand that, for example, in Australia, the dentist in Australia is potentially a threat. Because that's what ends up on those lists. And there are a lot of other things that you can see on our website. So, we did choose a pretty provocative title, Collateral Murder. Do you guys think that's provocative? Yeah? And some of you are probably unhappy about that, right?
No.
No? Oh, wow, I'm surprised. Well, let's be clear. We chose that title for a really good reason. This is the language of the people that are doing these things. This is, without a doubt, a murder. You watched, if you watched this video, more than a dozen people being gunned down. I mean, these are not small machine guns. For those of you that have shot a machine gun, it's probably bigger than any machine gun you've ever shot. And it was mounted on a helicopter, which, I don't know about you, but it's really, really hard to take down a helicopter with a camera. This is not the world that we want to see, right? We don't want to see these things happening, but we don't want to see these things not happening by people suppressing the video. We want to change this. Every single one of you that thinks that it's right that we're in Iraq needs to remember that you are directly, you specifically, are directly responsible for this. And for those of you that aren't, but have friends. The way that Harvey Milk was so successful in getting people to stop gay bashing people was that it wasn't to, you know, if you're gay, which I am, if you're gay and you come out and you say, you know, I'm gay, you should respect me. No, no, no. What he said was, and this was brilliant, go home to your friends and family and come out to them and tell them, listen, when you're talking about killing other gay people, yeah, well, you're talking about killing your family members and my friends. And that changed things overnight. And it changed it overnight because, you see, it's quite clear to me that it changed it because people don't care when things are far removed from them. People care when it's directly in their face. And it's something that they already respect. So you're not forcing this issue. You're allowing them to freely choose and think about it and to change the way that things are going directly. And so I have lots of friends that used to make lots of slurs about both the war and homophobic slurs that don't do that anymore because they respect and love me for who I am. And so I ask you to remember that some of these people are distant, but you would do the same thing. You would pick up someone who had been shot on the side of the road because you are a good person. So it seems to me that we should make sure that we don't forget this. There's a lot of spin involved with this video, but it's wrong. It's very clear what happened here, which is that it was a series of murders of people who were unarmed, people who were very clearly walking through the streets of a normal city. I mean, sure, it's a city that's at war, but we brought them to war. So it's very hard to fault them for this. And it's also quite clear to me that people on the streets there defend themselves because there isn't a simple, normal thing like we have here. You don't just have certain expectations. Anything can happen. But that doesn't mean if someone has something that looks like a gun, that it absolutely is a gun. It could be a tripod, and it could be a camera. But what's most telling about this is that the U.S. military knew all of this, and instead of copping to it, they tried to cover it up. How that journalist got that video is up in the air. The fact that they didn't release it is quite clear, but now you have it. So now you know. So now it's up to us to change something as a result of this. On a technical level, this was a test drive of a new hosting architecture. Some of you probably also heard about the September 11th pager messages that were released. Those pager messages were a prototype for this system. It's not pretty, but it's not meant to be pretty. It's meant to deliver the information to you, to replicate it, to distribute it in some way, to be scalable in a way that is very difficult to censor. And the purpose here is to make a major political impact. And we did. We met our goal, which we always do. So, let's be clear about something. This is obviously in the air, and it's extremely important to state this. There is someone who has been alleged to be a source by a person who has no name in this community anymore. Do I have agreement on that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Could we try that again? With a little sincerity? Thank you for renewing my faith in this community. I was a little bit unsure. Maybe not too much, but I believe that the key thing here to remember is silence, not violence. Okay? This person prides themselves on being heard and thought about. Just forget them. They are irrelevant. They are not making a change that creates the world that we want to see. And you can agree with me by just forgetting. He doesn't exist. It isn't important. And he isn't important. So, someone alleged to be our source, we are going to support them. This is very serious. The charges that are leveled against him are not something like 2 or 3 months. At the moment, the charges that are leveled are, well, let's say, pretty serious. They look like somewhere over 50 years in prison. That's a really serious amount of time in jail. And can you imagine this? The information you have in your head, that information is the thing that he is alleged to have done. How can we, as a society, do something like that? We can't. We have to support him. So let's be quite clear about this. There is legal support for him, but there are some problems. Julian and I were speaking a couple of days ago, and he told me that there are some JAGs involved, and there are some lawyers with clearances. And not all of the lawyers have a clearance, and not all of the lawyers are JAGs. It appears, Julian has stated, that there are 7 lawyers. But most importantly, some of the lawyers have agreed to take $50,000. That $50,000, though, is not enough, they say. They wish to have $200,000 minimum before continuing further. That means we've got some fundraising to do. That's pretty serious. So those of you that are working at a nonprofit and you want to raise some funds in some way, maybe get some matching donations, now is the time to leverage that. For every one of you that believes that someone who is accused to have done a thing like this needs our support, now is the time to make that support. This is a person that if something happens to him, if he is convicted, this is quite serious. That is an entire young man's life in jail, in a military prison, almost certainly. And that is not something that I can support. And I and many people at WikiLeaks are very clearly working directly against that outcome. We want to see him walk free. And we can't do that without every one of you, literally, getting up and helping us. It is a necessity. There is a website, bradleymanning.org. Some of you know about this. This is being spearheaded by a number of people. It's extremely important that you visit this site, that you read it, that you look for information there. This person is really taking the lead, and this group of people is really making a difference. They're extremely, extremely good. Their heart is in the right place. And it's important to remember, Manning is alleged to have done these things. He is not convicted. So, I want to go on to create a world, quite clearly, that doesn't have to have these types of concerns, where instead of the law being used to prosecute alleged sources, we are going to make some big changes. So, There's a country called Iceland, which some of you are familiar with, which I previously have mentioned. And Iceland is pretty much the most fantastic country in the world when it comes to freedom of information. It's really quite amazing. It's the type of place where when you walk down the streets in Reykjavik, you can actually meet parliamentarians on the street without a security detail, and they'll talk to you, and they'll have coffee with you, and they'll even take you into the parliament if you'd like. That's some serious representative democracy in action. WikiLeaks is part of an advisory group. Part of the reason that I went to Iceland was also to be part of that advisory group as a tour project person. I guess my roles are a little blurred at the moment, but to be quite clear, IMI is much bigger than WikiLeaks. It is not simply a WikiLeaks project. This is the people of Iceland saying, you know, a little transparency could have helped us during that banking crisis. Thanks for leaking those documents. Let's make sure that we codify that, that we make sure that people understand as a cultural value that we want to see that, that we want to see that all the time when people do those types of things, because those people bankrupted our entire nation. So IMI is an attempt at that. And imagine, if you will, for a moment, the Bill of Rights. It's pretty fantastic. Well, it turns out that it's not quite good enough. And I say that as a pretty reasonable and loyal American, which is to say, Sweden has better press protection laws. Iceland will soon have better press protection laws. Belgium has better press protection laws. Lots of other places in the world have better human rights records. So we wanted to take things from all over the world, including actually New York State, which has anti-libel tourism laws, specifically generated in response to some of the things happening in the United Kingdom. And so this is really important, because what IMI is doing is it's building